A love that's wide, a love that's sweet, and help me, Lord, to never keep it to myself. And if my heart should dimly burn, and if my feet should fail to run, call my name and I will come right back to you. 'Cause there's no fear in love. There's no fear in love.
Stir in me that's deep, a love that's wide, a love that's sweet, and help me, Lord, to never keep it to myself. And if my heart should dimly burn, and if my feet should fail to run, call my name and I will come right back to you.
Stay close to you. It's really that simple. I wanna stay close to you, just as simple as this song. I wanna stay close to you. It's really that simple. I wanna stay close to you, just as simple as this song. 'Cause
hear these words from the Gospel of Mark, chapter 4. And leaving the crowd behind, they took him with them in the boat, just as he was. Other boats were with him, and a great windstorm arose, and the waves beat into the boat, so that the boat was already being swamped. But he was in the stern, asleep on the cushion, and they woke him up and said to him, "Teacher, do you not care that we are perishing?" He woke up and rebuked the wind and said to the sea, "Peace, be still." Then the wind ceased and there was a dead calm. And he said to them, "Why are you afraid? Have you still no faith?" And they were filled with great awe and said to one another, "Who then is this that even the wind and the sea obey him?" May God bless this reading to our hearing and understanding. Amen.
Well, good morning.
Oh,
You know, it's no coincidence that the pastor said he's a Dallas Cowboy fan and then this happened. They'll take any advantage they can get. My name is John, and I'm a pastor. I'm an author. I found myself recently becoming a polarizing public figure talking about faith and politics, and I need you to know that that was not the plan. And in fact, if you're here and your plan is to be a polarizing public figure talking about faith and politics, you need prayer and a better plan, okay? I want to begin, actually, by just thanking Melinda. Melinda and I have become friends on Twitter, and now we're actual friends, but Melinda invited me here, and it's just such a blessing to be in this community. And actually, if you've ever deconstructed your faith, you know what it's like to lose your religion and then to, you know, you find it again in certain places. And if you can't find religion, hearing the beautiful musicians do their work today, so could we thank them for their ministry to us? Yeah. So I found my religion often on airplanes. See, part of my job is that I've had to travel much more by plane than I wanted to. That may be good news for some of you, but it has not been for me because historically I'm not that strong a flyer. Because what happens is I'm sitting there and I'm enjoying myself and I realize intellectually that I'm in a large metal tube hurling through space and I become uneasy, right? But I was flying to Albuquerque, New Mexico not long ago, and I was having a really good flight for someone who's certain they're going to die in an airplane, right? I'm there, and I'm in my little elementary school-sized chair, and I've got my Barbie doll-sized bag of pretzels, thank you, and my Dixie cup, my little Dixie cup full of soda, and I'm enjoying some music, and my enjoyment is interrupted by a voice, and it's the voice of the captain. Now, I know this because he says, folks, it's the captain speaking, and he said, I want the flight attendants to suspend drink service. I'd like you to put on your seatbelts because we're about to hit a little chop. You hear that word? Because I heard that word, chop, and I know that that word is not good news for me. And he goes on to talk about a weather system. He said, we're approaching some weather, as if there was not weather before where we were. And he said, again, it's going to get a little choppy, and I understand that choppy is as pilots speak, for we are about to be shaken like a snow globe in the hands of an angry toddler, right? I know when he says choppy, that means I'm about to contemplate my mortality one more time while wedged between two strangers, right? Choppy means I'm about to make a lot of promises to God and what I'm going to do if we land safely, none of which I intend to keep, right? But the pilot is very matter-of-factly in his way saying to all of us, hold on, prepare yourselves, turbulence is coming. Now, this is not unusual language. If you've been raised in the church at all, you know that in the Gospel of John in chapter 16, Jesus is with his disciples, he's with his students, and he's preparing them for the time that he's going to leave them. And he says, listen, I'm telling you all these things because in this world you will have trouble, but take heart, I have overcome the world. So Jesus is saying to those of us who would follow in the ways of compassion and mercy and love and justice, hold on, prepare yourselves, turbulence is coming. So 2 days ago, I flew here from Raleigh, North Carolina, and I brought a message with me. Hold on. Prepare yourselves. Turbulence is coming. Actually, I'm a little late, aren't I? Turbulence took the earlier flight out, didn't it? Anyone in the room experience any shaking on their way to this place in time? Or are y'all good? When I say the word turbulence, you can name exactly who and what is causing the shaking for you. You can actually describe the storm in great detail, can't you? And the truth is that these are incredibly turbulent times in this country. This is a time of great shaking for so many people. And see, the thing about the storms and the thing about the turbulence. All right, that's it. That's it. We are, we're not talking about sports any longer in church. God is saying, all right, there's unity, but there's one thing. Thank you. I'm good. We're good.
Cowboys out to save the Eagles.
That's a fumble. See, most of us at any given time, we're experiencing the shaking of being human, right? as we walk into the world and as we step into our identities, as we live our convictions, as we get together in community, as we fight for the things that matter to us, we are going to experience turbulence in the shape of opposition and disagreement and conflict. And those things are going to cause in us anxiety and worry and stress and, yes, fear. And I wonder what you're afraid of today. I don't know you. We've never met. But I know something is terrifying you. I know that something is shaking you today. And you try to hide it. You walk in here and you're smiling and we're enjoying ourselves. But there is a storm inside of you today. I want you to face that today. I want you to admit it. When the storms come in our house, there are two different reactions. See, I have a dog, and when a storm comes, I always know that a storm is coming because I find the dog in the bathtub, right? I can't find the dog. Where's the dog? I look, and there's the dog in the bathtub. I say, oh, storm's coming. It's like she's a furry meteorologist, right? But my daughter, Sayla, when Sayla was six, she began to get very concerned. She would hear the thunder, and she would scream wherever she was. She would run, and she would hyperventilate, and she'd get so physically distressed by it, right? And I love these two different responses to the storms that I've lived with. My dog is unable to move, and my daughter is unable to rest, and I wonder about the storms that face you today and the shaking that face you. How do you find yourself? Do you find yourself paralyzed, unable to move, or frantic, unable to rest? What is the collateral damage of these days upon you? But I want you to know that regardless whether you've come here shaking or whether you come here frozen, that is not a place that God desires you to live for very long. That's a place you need to pass through quickly. But what's beautiful about it is we've never met. And what I know is that fear is universal. It comes with our operating systems, right? No one here, doesn't matter how much money we make or the color of our skin or our beliefs or our political affiliation, we are not immune to the debilitating effects of fear when it grips us. So there is solidarity in those terrors, isn't there? We can look around the room and we can look around social media and we can step out into our community and realize everyone is facing those storms and that shaking, and we get a gift. We get to step into the storms. The gut-wrenching thing about fear, though, is this. We don't grow out of fear, do we? See, when I was 5 years old, I'm going to confess something to you. I was deathly afraid of one of the Sesame Street Muppets, friends. Now, I don't want to tell you which one. I don't want to prejudice you. But can you imagine being a 5-year-old child and watching Sesame Street and then having a nightmare that one of those monsters could see you through the TV, right? But listen, I'm about to turn 50 years old. Friends, I've overcome my fear of Muppets. Hallelujah. Thank you. But see, my fear is not over, is it? See, the truth is, we don't trade in fear when we get older for something that's easier. All we do is trade up to more age-appropriate models of fear. You are no longer afraid of ghoulish monsters and vampires and monsters beneath the bed, maybe clowns, because let's face it, right? But you largely look at the things that you used to fear and you laugh at it, right? You tell stories about it. It's trivial to you, but not the things that presently shake you. That stuff is not funny. We leave behind creepy baby dolls and shadowed boogeymen in the closets, but we pick up other fears, don't we? We pick up fear of financial disaster. We pick up fear of relational collapse. We pick up fear of war. We pick up fear of dying alone. We pick up the fear of worrisome spots on CAT scans, right? And because of this ever-growing, ever-maturing fear, we're always susceptible to a poverty of courage and to a wealth of fear. And I want you to sit with the things that terrify you today. The Indigo Girls have a song called Kid Fears. It says, are you on fire from the years? What would you give for your kid fears? What would you give for those little things that used to terrify you that now are so easily overcome? you're thinking as I'm talking about the things you fear. You're thinking as I'm talking about the things that terrify you and the shaking in your life, but I want to talk to you about something else because it's just as important. I want you to think about the shaking that other people are experiencing in this world. This is about more than you. This is about the turbulence of other people that you are called to step into. See, the story of Jesus in the boat reminds us that we sit in the tension between the peace givers and the fear bringers, don't we? And we know, if we're paying attention, that the fear bringers are working overtime, that the fear bringers are having a renaissance, that the fear bringers are emboldened. And the question is, can we step into that place and be the peace givers? Because when we see people preying on the vulnerable, when we see people leveraging their insecurities against them, we have an opportunity, and it's actually our sacred calling. It's actually the place that Jesus desires we be, right in the tension between the peace givers and the fear bringers. We get to see the people who are being assailed, and we get to do something about it. Because our faith is not just this internal thing that we sing about. Is it a communal expression of love that we are invited into? Not just in this room, too, but out there. See, if all we do is have an experience in this room that never leaves this room, we have wasted this moment, right? So our goal is to actually alter the planet outside of this building. In his book, Jesus and the Disinherited, African-American theologian Howard Thurman says, yes, fear is universal, but not all fear is created equal. Because not everyone experiences fear equally. Some people are insulated by some of the fears, right? You ever get internet and phone service and they ask you to bundle it, right? You bundle it, you get a bunch of things cheaper. I don't know if you've noticed, but I'm a white, cisgender, heterosexual Christian man. I have the privilege bundle, right? They were like, oh, you can have it all. Yes. Privilege is a barrier to turbulence. This doesn't mean that I'm never going to be terrified. It just means I'll never understand the terror of being a young black man being pulled over by a police officer, right? It doesn't mean in this life that I'm not going to be overwhelmed. I will just never know what it's like to be overwhelmed in the way that an LGBTQ person will be overwhelmed, right? It doesn't mean that I am not going to be internally turbulent. It just means I'm not going to ever understand what it's like to be a Muslim American or a Muslim in America. So the question is, all of us in this room have a level of privilege that we get to use as currency to bring more peace into the world, to stop the shaking for some people. So we have to be story learners. We have to be listeners. And then we have to be bold and brave and step into the shaking. It costs you something to step into the shaking of other people, right? To speak into injustice. To give up some of your comfort and your ease. To even risk relational collateral damage. But some people are living terrified and they're living with urgency because they have no choice. And so we who do have privilege need to live with urgency as well. Where does fear come from, friends? It comes from the feeling that we can't control our circumstances, right? That's why turbulence on the plane is so terrifying to me, because I realize that I am not in control of my present situation, and I don't like that. I was getting on the plane to Albuquerque. I texted my host and said, getting on the plane, we're about to take off, and she gave me what she thought was encouragement. She said these words that people say to you when you're on an airplane. She said, okay, be safe. I texted her back, you tell that to the pilot and the weather. I'm just going to be sitting here, right? See, the pilot and the weather are outside of my control, and it's easy to think that my peace or my fear rests in those things outside of my control, in the pilot and the weather. But that's not really the truth, is it? See, the truth is that I do have a choice. I can actually alter my inner weather. This is the life of faith. It is to say, despite what is around me, despite what I see and feel and hear and know and experience, I can actually choose to be at rest. The story that we heard read today, it's a living parable about fear, right? The disciples actually literally experience a flood of fear. They've been with Jesus, and Jesus says, let's go to the other side. Let's go and take a boat ride. It's a three-hour tour. What could go wrong? Right? And they start traveling, and the storm kicks up, right? And what happens is panic comes with it, and that's what happens with us. We're never ready for the storms. We think we are, right? Right now, you're thinking, oh, I can handle the stuff that's coming, but you have no idea what's coming. And when it comes, that's when the panic and the fear has its opportunity to grip you, right? And the disciples, they begin to allow what they see to override what they know. They've been traveling with Jesus. They've seen him do miraculous things. They know his heart. They know his power. They know his goodness. And still, they allow themselves to be shaken. And I today don't want to let you make what you see to be stronger than what you know. I don't want you to forget who you are traveling with here. I don't want you to forget who invited you into this journey. And I don't want you to forget who's going to be there when you reach that place on the other side. See, the disciples are freaking out and they're looking for Jesus because they know that Jesus is going to bail them out, right? And Jesus is sleeping in the back of the boat. He's not sleeping because he doesn't care. He's sleeping because he has the storm right-sized. He knows who he is and he knows what the storm is. And the question for you and me is, do we have our threats right-sized? Can we see a peace that transcends the shaking that we are currently in? The question is not whether or not we're going to be placed into storms, right? It's how much of the storms we're going to allow to be placed within us. Are we going to be internally turbulent in turbulent times? And are we going to be content with allowing other people to be shaking in our midst? I want to give you some possible symptoms of fear pollution. Irritability, impatience, physical illness, eating emotionally, addictive behavior, the inability to be present to people who love you, an obsession with social media, a fixation on how wrong things are right now. I'll give you that list again. Irritability, impatience, physical illness, emotional eating, addictive behavior, the inability to be present to people who love you, a fixation on how bad things are. You got any of those? Because I got that bundle too, right? We are all in that place right now where we are not as well as we could be. Whether your turbulence is delivered by a cruel family member or a former friend, or a stranger on social media, or a predatory politician, or a brimstone preacher, or a system that is corrupt, or someone that you used to love who you no longer recognize, whatever delivers your turbulence, remembering who you are and whose you are is critical. See, for Howard Thurman and for Jesus, identity is at the core of the peace that cannot be shaken. There is something about you that people can't take away. There's something about you that people can't insult away. They can't frighten it away. They can't preach it away. There is something that you can hold on to, and that's where the peace is. The disciples are freaking out. Jesus is sleeping. See, God is not overwhelmed by the things that overwhelm you. God is not surprised by adversity or danger that you face. God is not taken aback by your lack of faith. God is not intimidated by your questions. God is not surprised that you are so disheartened and so grieving and so pissed off at all the injustice that you see, because God is sharing your heart when you do those things. The disciples are in that moment of shaking, and they ask the question we always ask. God, don't you care? Right? They're saying, don't you care if we drown? And Jesus says to them, listen, on this journey, it's a really limited menu. You have fear or faith. Which would you like today? Right? It's really hard to let those two things inhabit the same space in us. to trust in God is to affirm faith in a time when that is counterintuitive. You know when it's really easy to claim faith? When the band's up here singing and it's beautiful sound and we're all together and we're enjoying ourselves. It's really easy to claim faith then. The harder place is now when we leave here. The hardest place is an hour when we're in the car. The hardest place is when we're on social media or watching the news. But what I want you to do is I want you to hold on to whatever it is that gives you peace and take it with you. Because what the story tells us, if we believe it, is that there is awe and wonder on the other side of the shaking, right? The disciples, they end up in a place with Jesus and they say, I can't believe what we made it through. And you know from your life that you have those moments too, don't you? Retrospectively, you can see God at work, can't you? You know stuff that you got through that you never dreamed you would. You know how small the shaking seems now. You made it through it, but now there's something coming. And the challenge is, can you take that retrospective faith and bring it into your present tense? But again, it's not about just you. Everyone around you, the people you share the grocery store line with, the people you see on social media, the people you pass in traffic and make hand gestures to, the people, you don't do that, you're Christians, other than the Cowboys fans perhaps, but the people in your kitchen, the people at work, your classmates, they're all experiencing the shaking of being human. They're all trying to push back fear and to hold on to peace. And guess what? You get to be part of that equation. You get to tip those scales. You get to nudge them toward a place of rest. I travel a lot, and I talked with different communities almost every week, and I started to notice something. We have a divide in this country. See how astute I am? But see, it's not the one we think. It's not a divide of politics. It's not a divide of theology. The divide we have is a vision divide on how we see the world and other people. See, there's a divide between people who are motivated by compassion and people who are struggling with empathy, right? We have a divide between people who see the world as abundance and that there's enough for all of us, and some people who live always in lack, that if someone else gets, I'm going to lose. We have people who live open-handedly and people who live with closed fists, because here's the deal. We have people who are driven by a default setting of love and those who live in fear. And people who live in fear, it taints everything that they do and feel and all their motivations. And so our goal should be to help people who are living in fear no longer live that way. And here's how we do it. We may have to become the turbulence for them. See, in these times of great shaking, you may have to become the turbulence to the fear bringers. You may have to become the turbulence to people who deny another person's humanity. You may have to become the turbulence to those who exclude and discriminate against people based on an unchangeable part of who they are. You may have to become the turbulence to even people of your own faith tradition who have lost the compassionate heart of Jesus. You may have to become the turbulence for family members who will only hear hard words of truth because you're the only one who's going to tell them. So this is what we do, friends, in these times of shaking. With our hands and our voices and our resources and our privilege and our platforms, we risk becoming the turbulence to the powerful and the privileged and the angry. We need to be the kind of people who bring peace to those who are being shaken. I told you my daughter, Selah, she used to get upset at the storms, and one day she was freaking out and screaming, and I picked her up and I said, we're going to go outside. And we sat on the porch, and I began to tell her how the storm worked. I had to Google it first, but I did that, right? And as I talked to her about what the storm was, something happened. Her heart rate began to slow, and her breath became normal. And I felt the weight of her body rest into my lap. And she exhaled, and she began to enjoy it. And now, whenever there's a storm, she's now 9, the thunder rolls, and she says, Dad, let's go outside. See, that's our time together now. And we sit in the storm because what I did for my daughter that day was I right-sized the storm for her. And I told her that I would be present with her in it. This is what God can do if we will allow it. God will tell us, I will right-size this storm for you and I will be present with you in it. May you have your fears right-sized. In this world of shaking, may you be a peace giver and not a fear bringer. May you find rest in your storms. May you not allow the turbulence around you to create another storm within you. And may you see that all the things that bring you shaking in the eyes of a God who knows and loves you and sees you, it's all just a little bit of chop. Peace be with you.
When you move, darkness runs for cover. When you move, no one turns away. 'Cause where you are, fear turns into praising. And where you are, no heart's left unchanged. So come move.
So come move. Let justice roll out like a river. Let worship turn into revival. Lord, lead us back to you.
Said when you move, darkness runs for cover. When you move, no one's turned away. Because where you are, fear turns into praises. And where you are, no heart's left unchained.
So come move.
So come move. Let justice roll out like a river. Let worship turn into revival. Lord, lead us back to you.
So come move.
So come move. Let justice roll out like a river. Let worship turn into revival. Lord, lead us back to you.
And King of all generations, let every tongue and nation surrender all to you alone.
Justice roll on like a river. Let worship turn into revival. Lord, lead us back to you.
Go in peace. God bless.